and welcome to Fic Off, the world's first, only, and God willing, last competitive fan fiction podcast. I am your host, Ben Hooper, filling in for Joe Ketchum, who is sadly no longer with us. Tragic Bitcoin mining accident. We're all praying for his family. Fic Off, presented by Word Salad Radio, is a competitive fan fiction podcast where our four illustrious competitors will each read their own original work based around the meeting of two characters. This week, we have a special girl power presentation of Xena meets Storm, the warrior princess and the weather witch. First off, let's meet our competitors. We will have Johnny Blaze reading first. Johnny, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing as well as anybody can be doing when they're about to participate in a fan fiction competition.
How are you feeling about your story today?
I thought I found like an interesting angle and hung everything on top of that. And just like a weird something I noticed while watching both properties. I like my story. No, it's is this my first or second time doing this? I might have done it once before. I know I've judged it once before, but I think this might be my first time competing.
Do you have any trash talk to lob at your fellow competitors? Anything to break their spirits, weaken their wills?
No. I hope everybody has a good time and does well. I know that's not in the spirit of trash talk. I hope you stumble over your words, reading too fast in your excitement.
Got their asses. After Johnny Blaze, our second reader will be Joe Ketchum, back from the Bitcoin mines. Joe, how are you today?
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Joe Ketchum. I'm doing well, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm doing super well. How do you feel about your story today?
I feel good about it. It turns out researching Xena that I didn't remember anything about Xena. It was a little lax, but I feel like I stumbled onto something interesting and something I can pretty much guarantee that no one else did. I sometimes worry that my idea is going to be had by everyone else, but I seriously doubt that anyone else has a story like mine. So that's
don't good. Worry. Any lore mistakes you make are sure to be pointed out in the comments.
Of course.
Do you have any trash talk to share for your fellow competitors?
Well, you know, I was going to play nice, but I know that we started with six competitors and now we're down to four, and I think those other two were just too afraid to compete with me. And I don't know if that makes the other three of you braver or stupider, but I feel pretty good. Feeling pretty good.
It can be a little of both. It can be
a little of both. Little of column A, little of column B, which is our bread and butter here on Fic Off.
Well, reading third, we will have John Stahl. John, how are you today?
Oh, my. Thank you for having me, Ben. This will be my fourth competition. I'm a one-time winner under my belt and feels good. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for that second win, baby.
Feeling strong, feeling loose?
Oh, yeah. I was like just panic writing all through the day. So I feel it's going to be strong. That procrastination really is like a laser that focuses your garbage into diamonds, I guess.
Any trash talk to lob at your fellow competitors?
My God, these beautiful people to garbage talk these fellow dumpster divers of fan fiction. How could I say anything bad about them that's not already on the internet or on a truck stop bathroom wall?
Excellent. Thank you, John. And reading last and the opposite of least, we will have Elena Taylor. And before you say anything, yes, we know she is a bit of a diversity competitor with her name not starting with J. She's the only one. We're doing affirmative action here at Fic Off. Elena, how are you today?
Wonderful. How are you, Ben?
Oh, I am just fan-freaking-tastic and excited to hear some great fan fiction. How do you feel about your story today?
Me too. You know, I threw some things at the wall and some things stuck, and we'll see.
The spaghetti method. I love it. Any trash talk to share with your competitors?
Game on, lads.
Strong words from a kick-ass person. All right, without too much more further ado, I just have one bit of disclosure in the name of fairness. One of these competitors is engaged to me. I won't tell you which one. Speaking of whom, Johnny Blaze is up first. So Johnny, yes, whenever you're ready, please let rip with some amazing fan fiction and Fic Off.
Storm hid the transmitter in the tree stump, giving up any hope of it running after an hour of tinkering. It needed a battery, which she suspected had been present in the escape pod, but lost now in her crash landing. She was tempted to try to activate the device of her own power, but she decided against it. An extra bit of energy could fry the circuits. The mutant frowned down at the transmitter, making a promise to herself to spend more time with Forge on field engineering. She turned away from the device and called upon the wind. It answered her, thankfully. She wasn't certain her powers would work here as they did on Earth. This world seemed near enough to her own, the trees and birds and the water, but it wasn't her Earth. The same way she knew how to bend lightning and summon storm clouds, she knew this wasn't her Earth, but near enough. As she gained altitude, it became immediately apparent how primeval and ancient the world was, but not empty of civilization. She could see villages and small-scale farming, medieval or even older. Storm dreaded the notion of being lost in both time and space, but it couldn't be helped. As she was about to choose a settlement at random to make a quiet approach, a clangor on the wind caught her attention, the sounds of metal clashing and battle cries. She immediately set off in the direction, smiling to herself. It seems no matter what universe, where the universe drops me, I shall always be an X-Men. The first wave of skeletons had been beaten as another group of them arrived. A party of leather-armored and iron-wielding warriors were hard-pressed, surrounding a wagon. At their head, a woman of evident battle prowess danced and sang, almost. Storm judged the warrior princess could handle herself, but behind her, the hordes of skeletons threatened what appeared to be Innocents and Roughspun cowering in the wagon. Her small band would not be enough to protect them. Xena let out a clarion cry and cleaved three of Hades' minions in a single slash. She let her momentum carry her into a spin, smoothly sending her chakram flying. It struck the heads off another half dozen skeletons before returning to her hand. She was just about to let it sail once more when a torrent of lightning crashed from the heavens to wipe away the skeleton horde in an instant, leaving only the light cloud of bone ash. Zeus? Xena exclaimed, turning towards the sky. Instead, she saw only the descending form of a mysterious stranger with an odd dress and a mass of flowing white hair. Of course it wasn't Zeus. Ever since the gods declared war on mortals and promised to cleanse the world, Zeus would never bring aid to them. What god are you? Xena asked the stranger. The two met and soon became fast friends, both recognizing the other's drive to protect the innocent. Storm needed to find her batteries, and Xena knew exactly how this powerful sky witch could solve both of their problems. With Xena's might and Storm's power, the two demigods battled their way through Olympus's minions across Greece. After the war for Olympus was won, Storm passed into the final chamber, not quite understanding what she was seeing at first, but then a slow realization taking over. The walls of this cylindrical room, which seemed to stretch eternally upwards, were lined with screens displayed with an infinite number of screens playing out, glimpses of innocents and monsters, past and present. Storm took tentative steps forward onto the catwalk that led into the central platform that hung in the middle of the countless all-seeing screens. The tapestry of time, Zeus spoke through a broken jaw. Each window follows each and every mortal, as well as keeping their past for... I understand, Storm interrupted. She raised a hand, feeling strange godly energies command the windows. She summoned forth the screen of her escape pod as it crashed to the planet where she first emerged. She watched the debris and was able to use the Cerebro to follow the power supply in her transmitter, where it landed quietly in a tree hollow. Satisfied, she turned back to the gods and Xena. What is it? Xena asked, stepping forward to meet her on the platform. Think of it as an artifact to return me home. This tapestry of time, from where I come from, my mentor had built something very similar to this. It lets us find and watch over people like us. He must truly be a great mortal to have built something half as grand as the tapestry of time. I have seen what I need to see, and I have the means to call my friends, Storm said. Xena gave a half frown, then turned back to the gods chained behind her. Zeus, Ares, Hera, and Hades were paraded behind them, wearing chains made of something that reminded Storm suspiciously of vibranium. What are you going to do with them? Storm asked. Xena grinned. We're going to have a long discussion about the parameters of the gods of Olympus and the mortals below them. I will remind them of the gentler forces they are supposed to influence. Xena turned back to Storm, standing close to the mutant. You are truly a mighty, truly the mightiest goddess of sky and thunder to ever grace our lands. If you were able to return to visit, Xena trailed off, biting her lip. Storm politely smiled politely, not sure if she'd be in a hurry to return to such a strange land. Xena and the gods would need to work out their differences without her. Perhaps, Storm said, feeling like a trickster god, wearing a coy grin as she sailed off to find her way home.
A thrilling yarn, if e'er I heard one. It's fair to say that I am a fan of that fiction. Coming up next, we have Joe Ketchum, usually the host, today a competitor. Joe, when you're ready.
All right. Thank you, Ben. I call this delicacy. Karen looked over the seemingly endless menu of options in front of her. I think, she started, impervious to the glares and scoffs coming from the line of angry patrons behind her, I'll try the cucumber lime sorbet. A leather-clad hand dipped a small wooden spoon, grabbed a small wooden spoon, dipped it into the shining metal bin of sorbet, and handed it to Karen, who proceeded to gingerly suck the frozen concoction and ponder its properties. Too tart. Maybe I'll try the triple chocolate. Oh, come on, the man in line behind Karen said. That was like your fifth sample, lady. Order something. I was here first. I have the right to take all the time I need to order. You can't rush me, said Karen. Friends, please calm yourselves, said Xena from behind the counter as she scooped a skerrick of triple chocolate for Karen. Everyone will get their gelatos and sorbets in a timely fashion. Now, madam, if you've made your selection, I would be happy to assist you. I want to try the strawberry basil, said Karen amid audible eye rolls. Ma'am, you've already sampled the basil strawberry. I don't remember what it tastes like, okay? Is that okay with you? Sorry, we don't all have your perfect gelato flavor recall. And ma'am, who are you to call me ma'am? Are you saying I'm old? I assure you I am quite a bit older, said Xena in an attempt to lighten the mood. But we do limit our customers to 3 samples. Is that like a rule? Is that a rule you have, like written down somewhere in a sign that I can see? It is an understanding, an ancient pact between the noble gelato distributor and the community we serve, said the former warrior princess. Everyone knows that, said the man behind Karen. Fine. If you're all going to gang up on me, then I'll do the strawberry basil, the coconut, and the vanilla chocolate chunk in a small cup. Ma'am, the small cup only holds 2 flavors. Well, I want 3. I don't see why I shouldn't be able to get what I want. In my day, the customer was always right. And in my day, the disturbers of the peace were cut down with blades forged with fire in Hades. Was that a threat? Karen asked, Karenly. That's it. I demand to speak to your manager. Madam, I am the co-owner of this establishment. There is no authority higher save Zeus and his progeny. It was then Aurora Monroe, the ex-X-Man, Storm, emerged from the back with her nose buried in a stack of papers. Xena, did you send in the paperwork for the employees' health care plan because they have yet to send the papers we need to sign? She looked up at the full lobby of annoyed customers. I see. If you were busy, Xena, you should have called for assistance. Aurora grabbed a ladybug-spangled apron from a hook by the door and took a place by Xena. I have it under control, said Xena. Can I help the next customer in line, please, said Aurora. Finally, said the man in line. But as he approached the counter, Karen spread out to block him. I'm being helped, me. Everyone else can wait their turn, demanded Karen. This one wants 3 flavors in a small cup. We offer medium-sized cups for $1.19 more, and they can bear your 3 flavors. That's too much. I can't have that much sugar or my sciatica will flare up. Are you trying to kill me? Trust me, Xena said. If I were trying to kill you, Xena, Aurora interrupted. If it's too much to ask for you to serve me, then I'll just help myself. With that, Karen barged her way behind the counter and grabbed a small scoop. You are not allowed back here, woman, said Xena. It is a violation of the Van Buren County Health Department. No government tells me what to do, said Karen, now slopping strawberry basil sorbet into her cup. Ma'am, these are our policies, and we kindly ask you to respect them. How dare you ask for respect when this one's been rude since I walked in and you've been nothing but uppity. Uppity? Gasped Aurora. I know, it's just in your people's nature. But isn't it exhausting being so confrontational all the time? Xena could take no more. She spun Karen and pinned her against the counter, the blade of her sleek, round chakram pressed to the jowls engulfing Karen's neck. Xena, no, said Storm. My partner here is a champion of Earth. She has saved humanity countless times and is the rightful queen of Wakanda. Wakanda, Missouri? Karen asked, but the added pressure of the blade at her throat made further questions seem unimportant. She commands the sun and lightning that power this building. She can hold a blizzard in the palm of her hand and produce the finest frozen delicacies in Southwest Michigan. There are those who would worship her as a god, but all she wants is to serve the people who walk through our door. She's not the one you need to worry about, madam, because while she's a god, I kill gods. Now take your small cup with your two flavors and get out. She released Karen, haphazardly stuffed some vanilla chocolate chunk alongside her strawberry basil and pushed the cup into Karen's hand as she stretched the trembling $5 bill and retrieved her change from the till. Karen's bravery returned as she made her way to the door. Well, I never, she scoffed. I like to see the look on your face when I post my Yelp review, I'll tell you that much. Xena's infamous Zagruda battle cry echoed through the room as her chakram buried itself in the frame of the door. After a moment, Karen left without another word, and a relieved applause could be heard over the circular blade's vibration. You're really something, Xena, said Aurora. Why don't you take a break and I'll tend to the front? I'll give the insurance company a call and get things moving on the health plan, said Xena. Just try not to threaten them. That shouldn't be necessary, Xena assured her. You know I only show off for you. She kissed Aurora, knowing she hated public displays of affection, and after a moment received a little shock from Storm's lips. She resigned to let Aurora work and retreated to the back office, ready to topple the Goliath of insurance bureaucracy. Apologies for the delay, everyone. Can I help who's next? Yeah, said the next guy in line. Can I try a sample of the pina colada? The end.
That was a delicious frozen treat for the ears and our hearts. Thank you very much, Joe. Coming up next, we have the third member of our J crew, John Stahl. John, please proceed at your leisure, but not too long because long gaps will need to be edited out.
Fine. All right. Now that I've seen what the competition is bringing so far, I didn't have to do much editing. Robert Tappert, a man in a dour brown suit, steps into an elevator of the NBC building. I slip in as the doors glide close, and he gives me the briefest of glances before returning to his iPhone. This is no chance meeting. I adjust my least stained t-shirt and tuck my shirt in my jorts. Hey, you're that guy that married Lucy Lawless and wrote Xena the Warrior Princess. I nod. Nice. Yeah, he scowls. It's weird running into you like this, I continue unabated. You here pitching another series, maybe? He doesn't respond, but I can feel I got his attention. Let me hit you with my idea for a Xena reboot. It's like Renfair times or whatever, and Xena is doing her usual kicking ass and throwing those Conan-looking motherfuckers like the rope toys for a dog. These dudes are all getting busted up by Xenas, and she's all yelling like, yeah, 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 like classic Xena. She totes saves Gabrielle from getting arrowed by throwing her frisbee-looking chakram thingy. It's fucking cool, right? Xena's all like, watch your ass, Gabs! Before she throat kicks a guy. All these punks are like all scared now and take off. And Gab's all like, fuck off, douches! Yeah. The villagers, because they're like, you know, like the village seeing the hard work is done, they come out of their trailers or whatever Renfair version of that shit is. We can tell these guys are like fucking poor. They're wearing rags. They're all dirty. They like smell bad. You know, they're like, here's all our ducats for saving us from these bad guys. And Xena, she's thinking about it before Gab's like, you know, nudges her and isn't. But we know Xena was just like fucking with her and doesn't take the money. But before two drunk frat boys can yell no homo in a shower, Hercules, played by shitbag Kevin Sorbo, totes snatches them ducats from the old man. Hercules laughs. The people who think government cares about them are the same who believe that strippers love them. That's an actual tweet from Kevin Sorbo. And he like punches the old man in a dick. That's how we know that he's evil now. Oh, fuck this. Xena pulls out her frisbee thing. Atheists are no longer permitted to appropriate Christian culture. Hercules screams at Xena like a methed out trucker in a Kansas Denny's. And Xena, she like badass flips over him and then she kicks him in the back. And that doesn't stop the son of Zeus. No! Wanker, Xena slashed at the big pile of human garbage because like Lucy Lawless, you know, you're married to her. She's from New Zealand. And that's what they say there. Oh man, taking bets when you won't be allowed rights unless you get microchipped. Hercules hollers before stopping Xena's swing like cold one-hand grab. You bet Gabs is like, hell no, and smack that shit bag in the back of the head. Vets before illegals, Hercules screams, punching Gab in the chest. And this is like a god punch, so it fucking hurt. Xena's eyes narrow with that, oh fuck, no you didn't look. Hercules is throwing punches at Xena like Sagat spams tiger uppercuts in classic Street Fighter. God, I fucking hate that guy. He sucks. Robs me my perfects every time. Xena's looking tired as the demigod continues his vile rampage like a raccoon high on paint fumes. He's smashing buildings and throwing donkeys like donkeys, man. It's messed up. Things are looking bad, like Orson Welles' steak commercial bad. This is the darkest hour. Ultra Magnus trying to use the Matrix, and it doesn't look like the warrior princess is going to pull this one out. Hercules knocks Xena to the ground, placing a knee on his chest. She's struggling hard. He leans in. Should we remove the Rocky statue? And his voice becomes a whisper. He beat up 3 black guys and a communist. Actual Kevin Sorbo tweet. He pulls back his fist for a fatal blow, and a lightning bolt tears into his back, sending Hercules tumbling through the air and into like a chicken coop or something. And through a portal in midair, like Storm flies in. Because Gabs has called in Zeus, and Zeus is like in there giving Xena like a thumbs up, like, yeah, my son's a shitbag. And Kevin Sorbo, he's ruined rewatching the original Hercules show and also Andromeda, which was basically Space Hercules, which I kind of liked that show and was happy to see a bunch of those actors in Jason X. And I guess the Storm's like all cool with the time travel because of like of Days of Future Past. She floats down from the portal. I'm here to help. Zeus filled me in on the way. Hercules has gone all Florida crazy. Xena cracks her neck, ready for the fight. He has to be stopped. Gab steps up, and the 3 stand in the street all badass. From out of the busted chicken coop, Hercules steps out. If men have no say in women's abortion, he rushes the 3. Women have no say in men paying child support. Actual Kevin Sorbo tweet. Yeah, like, fuck Kevin Sorbo, right? But this time, they're ready, and Xena dodges his punches, and Gab's like ducks down, tripping Kevin Sorbo with his staff, and Xena stabs him in the side. He's all like, ah! And Storm grabs hold of the sword and sends a massive lightning bolt from her arm, channeling it right into the sword. When we see Hercules' skeleton, and he's like all electrocuted, and his charred corpse, and the last words that come out of his mouth in a raspy whisper, toxic masculinity, keeping snowflakes safe. Since 1775, and he fucking dies. The women high five and kick his crispy fried corpse before succumbing to the moment, and they're all like, start making out. Yeah. Xena grabs Storm, and this is like Holly Berry Storm, like, yeah, you know she's good to go. Then Gab starts like disrobing, and Xena can see that Gab's is like Florida horny. The elevator door dings and glides open. Robert quickly escapes without looking back. Think about it, I yell as 2 imposing security guards enter the elevator. So you'd think that was that. I got my shot. 6 months later, I flip on Netflix and a preview starts. Hercules is out of control. Nice. I open my notebook and I cross Xena off the list right below the reboot to Masters of the Universe. My next reboot, Cop Rock. The end.
Oh man.
Thank you, John, for gun. What is almost certainly not a true story, probably.
I don't know. Have you seen the new Masters of the Universe reboot? It feels like a prequel to Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh.
They're setting it up.
Well done, John. Very well done. Coming up next, our final story of the evening will be Elena Taylor. Elena. Whenever you're ready, please bless us with fan fiction.
All right, I'll try. Furious with Xena for foiling their plan to get the kings of Corinth and Thebes into a war, Strife and Discord combined their powers to open a portal through time. The air around Xena began to twist. As the portal opened, Xena was pulled toward it like a magnet. She was compelled forward, bronze breastplate first. Whoa, what a rush, said Strife as the portal began to close. I've never done that before. Where did we just send her? Who cares, replied Discord. She's out of our way. Don't you think Uncle Ares might get angry that we sent his favorite mortal somewhere? He'll be too busy thanking me for the carnage we're about to create without that do-gooder Xena getting in the way. Thanking you, Strife said petulantly. You didn't get rid of her alone. Thanking us, Discord said, rolling her eyes. They both laughed evilly and disappeared. Gabrielle, who was standing there the whole time, ran into the night. Aurora Monroe was running late for game night. As she made her way through the entrance and into the tunnels underneath Manhattan to the Morlocks' secret hideout, she was greeted by Healer, who was on guard duty. They nodded to each other as she approached. What kept you? Healer asked. I apologize for my tardiness, friend, Storm replied. Magneto sent some of his people to spy on the mansion. He underestimated our security, however. We were able to get rid of them without any losses. Get rid of them? Healer pressed. Chased off, for the most part. No losses on either side this time, a fact for which I am very relieved. Healer sighed. I fear it just means another fight another day. Almost certainly, Storm commiserated. Many of our brethren are misguided, but I cannot lose hope that someday they will see that the way they are fighting this war cannot possibly have the ending they believe it will. Here's hoping, Healer replied. Aurora parted company with Healer, continuing to the hideout. Walking into the main chamber, she saw Callisto, Leech, Tommy, Piper, and Scaleface at one table with cards and poker chips laid out. A couple yards to the right was another card table. Plague and Annalie were seated at the second table, deeply engrossed in a game of pinochle. Look who finally showed up, Scaleface said with a smirk. Am I too late to be dealt in for this round? Asked Storm.
Perfect timing, actually, said Leech.
At that moment, there was a loud crack, like lightning had just struck the floor in the middle of the chamber. A portal opened up, and a woman in leather blew out of it. She tumbled several feet across the floor. The Morlocks all leapt to their feet and were in fighting stances in an instant. Scaleface sprang to the front, changing into a dragon-like creature as she moved forward. Piper began playing music on his little flute, summoning the sewer rats. The portal closed with a sort of wet popping sound. Xena leapt to her feet, drawing her sword. Where am I? Asked Xena, taking in the people surrounding her. The two old women, the green-skinned young boy, the lizard person, who had been a woman moments before, the rainbow girl, the woman with the scars, and the white-haired beauty before her. You are in the secret hideout of the Morlocks. I am Storm, mistress of the elements, said Storm, eyes going white. She summoned a thick mist around them, seeping into the chamber, obscuring everything below waist level. Demigod? Asked Xena, unimpressed. Mutant, Storm corrected. Why don't we skip to the part where you tell me how to get back to Corinth? Better yet, Discord and Strife. Get Discord and Strife to show their cowardly faces and send me back right now. Xena gave a shrill battle cry and aimed a fist at Storm's face. Storm blocked it, and they fought. It was Amazon against Amazon, warrior against weather witch, princess against queen. Xena aimed a turning kick at Storm's torso. Storm grabbed Xena's ankle and brought an elbow down hard into the back of Xena's leg. Thrown off balance, they both fell. Xena landed on her back. Storm caught herself, landing on her hands in a push-up position right over Xena. I do not wish to fight you. Storm sprang up to her feet again in one deft movement, then held out a hand to help Xena. What is your name, traveler, and what do Strife and Discord have to do with this? Xena, she said. Strife and Discord opened that portal to send me here. Though your clothing, this place, everything looks so different. Storm, seeming to be picking up what Xena was laying down, said, We are in the 20th century in New York. Who are these people you speak of, Storm? Asked Callisto, stepping forward. Strife is a mutant, Callisto. I do not know this Discord, answered Storm. Wait, Xena said, thinking, eyeing Callisto up and down. Callisto, huh? A friend of mine was once sent through a portal he described as being very much like this one was. The place he went to was the same, yet different. All the people there were like opposites of the people where we come from. I have experienced alternate realities as well, said Storm. We must find a way to get you back to yours. What? Xena broke off, feeling the air twist around her again. The portal was opening back up. As the portal widened, out strode Ares, god of war. Ares, Xena said very Xenally. Xena, come back home with me. Your irritating little blonde friend came to my temple and told me what happened. Discord and strife for being punished. They know better than to mess with time. Come on. As he turned around and walked back into the portal, he locked eyes with Storm and said, see you later, Aurora. Nonplussed, Storm said, perhaps a strong drink before we resume game night?
A thrilling tale of mutant Morlock mayhem. And now, it's your turn. That's right, you, our viewing audience. We need you to vote for your favorite story. The link to the Google form should be in the comments underneath the video where you're watching. Please vote no more than once. Please vote only for your favorite story, not your second favorite, not your least favorite. If you vote for your third favorite, we have no way of knowing, but we'll be very disappointed in you. Now, while we're waiting for the votes to tally, does anyone have anything they would like to plug to our viewing audience or our later listening podcast audience? Any good Netflix recommendations?
I'll have a recommendation. In honor of the Olympics just ending, I watched a movie called Nadia Butterfly. It's a French-Canadian film about a swimmer, an Olympic swimmer doing her last Olympics, her last professional swim before she like goes and starts her real life. And I thought it was really lovely. So seek out Nadia Butterfly.
I'm watching Schmigadoon on Apple Plus or Apple TV, whatever it is. Yeah, it's really funny. If you kind of like musicals, it's pretty cool. It's a fun take on that. So, and you have whatever the Apple channel is, go for it. It's great. Also Cop Rock. Watch Cop Rock. It's amazing. All things are Cop Rock now.
The fourth and final Neon Genesis Evangelion movie lands on Amazon Prime tomorrow. So that's my anime rec. Oh, it's already there if you're listening to this as a podcast. Yeah, that was my whole thought. I really like Neon Genesis Evangelion.
I was trying to think of a good recommendation. I've been watching since Dune is coming out soon, the new Dune movie, the classic 84 Lynch movie is on HBO now. I just rewatched it. It kind of blows. It does its best, but I don't think it's very good because I see you shaking your head, John. I tried. I wanted to like it.
I know, but it's Patrick Stewart.
I like Kevin the Kyle MacLachlan, but my real recommendation is on YouTube. The sci-fi 3-episode miniseries Dune is free to watch, and I think is good in just a very general way. It's not amazing, but it's the best Dune we've had so far. I'm guessing this new one will be better, but if you just want to brush up on Dune, read the books, listen to the audiobook. But if you can't,
important to make sure if you're watching the miniseries that you're watching the unrated home media release version, otherwise you won't see any naked boobies.
Yes, important.
Tantalizing side boob, but it's not really the same.
Big agree. If you have the means, watch it the true way, because it is censored on YouTube.
Indeed. So how are we on votes? Since Joe made the voting form, I can't actually see the results.
I imagine everyone is in.
Wait, only Joe counts the votes? I'm going to need an audit.
I'm the only one who can see the votes, but I can share my screen if you want.
Get Cyber Ninja in here, quick.
I'm going to need to examine the screen for bamboo fiber.
Are you guys ready to hear the winner of Fick Off 9?
Let's Xena hear those beautiful and Storm tallies.
Okay, it wasn't really close. It seemed neck and neck for a while, and then like it really tipped in one direction. And the winner is Elena.
Well, thank you.
By a bit of a blowout, I have to say.
Respect for lore wins the day.
Our stories were kind of like opposites of each other in a weird way. It's like somebody had to get teleported to somebody.
Congratulations to Elena on your very first Fick Off championship. Do you have any inspiring words of victory to share with your loving audience?
Thank you for voting. Guys, that was tough. That was awesome. I liked all of your stories. And I liked that John and Joe like went higher concept. That was so fucking rad. It was fun to listen to all of you.
I liked Joe's Joe's kind of reminded me of when you like sub in fan fiction characters into fucking like high school or something.
Yeah,
I got zero votes. Got zero fucking votes for
me. You had my heart, Joe. I assume you were talking about the haystack in Decatur.
I loved it because one of the things that like often goes into like the Facebook events and stuff is like, we don't know what kind of story it'll be. Maybe they'll fight. Maybe they'll open a coffee shop together. But no one ever does that until now.
It happened.
Yeah, I wondered when I was writing mine, I was like, they're not fighting at all. And there's no rule that they have to, but I wonder how common that was in previous competitions. Or are they usually just foits?
I don't know if I've written a fight between, but I've also never gotten a vote.
I know I won one with where they didn't fight at all. I won two where they didn't fight at all because like winner Doctor Who and Dr. Brown gonna like fisticuff.
Yeah.
But there was also Ian Malcolm and Ripley did not really fight in mine.
Oh, I think that's the one I judged and selected.
You judge that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're finally bringing the conversation around to what's important, me, we have any last words before we sign off on this iteration of Thick Off? I'm starting a new thing. Thick Off.
I don't think it's going to stick.
We'll see. I believe in it.
Joe, when's our next Thick Off?
You know, we try to do them every couple of months. So... yeah, it'll be coming up.
Follow Word Salad Radio Productions on Facebook to know when the next Thick Off is coming in.
Maybe very special plans for the next one. Very special plan for next Thick Off. So you won't want to miss it. Not going to tease it. Just it's very special. That's all you get.
Punky Brewster.
That would be a very special. Punky Brewster and Blossom.
Please.
Well, congratulations to all of our competitors. You all did a great job tonight, especially our winner and, spoiler alert, my fiance, Elena Taylor. One last round of applause from me only. And oh, and everyone else, we're all joining in. Good claps.
Good sportsmanship.
That does it for this edition of Thick Off on Word Salad Productions. What? Let me take that again. That does it for this version of Word Thick Off Radio. See you next time.
Dementias. It's just so, so sad to see it affect your friends.
Just seeing me sundowning live on Facebook.